Right on.
Okay, I guess happy Tuba of everybody. And this year, as usual, sponsored by Gary and Toby Greenstein in memory of Yomi Yosef Menachem Ben Gershon. And the breakfast is yet to be sponsored, and let's Lizchus and Lahatzlachas, the anonymous yet to sponsor. Okay, last week, last time, last daf, the rabbi left us off in the middle of a sentence. So we were at that point describing Gedolim stories. That's what that's what we were doing last time. That's what we're going to do some more of today. And it was Rav Huna. He was being described in different kinds of things that he would do. Rava was asking one of Rav Huna's Talmidim, you know, tell us some stories about your Rebbe Rav Huna, and he was telling them all kinds of things. And now we're up to four lines from the bottom. Ki hava le milsa di asusa. Whenever he came in possession of some kind of a refuah, hava mali kuza de kuza mine. Four lines up. This is Chaf Amud Beis. That Chaf Amud Beis. Four lines up from the bottom. And it says that he would malikuza, let's not say demaya, but he would fill a big bucket of the stuff to benefit the whole town. Vitali le besifa de besi, and he would hang it over the on his front porch. The amar called the boy lacy vilishkol, and he would announce anybody who needs this should come and take. So he would provide for the needs of the community. Vika di amri milsa de shivsa hava gamir. Or let's say others have a different kind of a thing, similar kind of a thing. If there was some kind of a problem, a medical problem or a metaphysical problem or something, Rashi brings in the possibility of talking about menek shedim. Rashi thinks this has to do with netilas yadayim, and he would have a manach kuza de maya. He would fill up a big bucket of clean water, vidalilei, and he would hang that, make that available. Amar called it tzarech leisei vileyol. And he would say, anybody who needs should come and take from this water and solve their problem. Delo listakin. So as not to be endangered or imperiled by not having the clean water available. Kabakarach rifta, another gadol story, that whenever he would start eating a suda, have a pasach lebaveh, he would open his front door, the yamar, and he would announce, just like we do at the Seder, kol man ditzrif leiseva leichol. Just like we announce at the beginning of the Seder, anybody who wants to, come on in and join me and eat. Okay, those are the end of the Rav Huna Gedolim stories. Rava, who was asking...
This was after he washed and made them osi, beforehand?
Well, when do we do it? We do it before we wash. Before he made, so he did it before. Amar Rava. Rava now was listening to all these things. And Rava says, Kulhu, wow, all of these stories are great, but you know, Matzina Mekhaima, I also could have done all these things myself, Labar Meha, except this last one. I don't know what he means. He means that I did do all these things. I could have also, if I thought of them, if I was living in his town, I don't exactly know what he means. But anyway, he says, but I can't do this last one. The bar meha delo metzina lemavad. I can't offer anybody in town who wants to come in and join me for this suuda, mishum, as Baran Daf Chafal of Hamad Aleph says now, top line, mishum de nefishi b'nei chela de machuza. And just too many people. So I can't afford, I wouldn't be able to support all the people who need to eat in my town. Okay. This is actually a really fascinating, well-known story, Chafal of Hamad Aleph. Gemara tells us the story of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora, a first-generation Amora, learned from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi himself, and Ilfa is not a really well-known character. So Ilfa was his chavrusa, was Rabbi Yochanan's chavrusa. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan have a garsi b'yoraisa. They were chavrusas. They were learning Torah together. Dechika lehu milsa tuva. But, you know, they didn't have any money. So, because that's not really a job. So, Amri, So they just decided, Nekum and Nezel and Aviniska. You know, let's just, let's go and get a job. Go, let's go to work. V'nikayim bin afshin. And so that we will apply about ourselves, the pasuk that describes Efes ki lo yebecha evyon. Pasuk that says, lo yebecha evyon. It's kind of it's a bracha. It's a bracha that, you know, if things all go well, so then you won't have aniyim among you. Azlu and Osvi Tosi Gudereiya. So then they decide to go, they leave the Beis Medrash, and they're kind of on their way to make their fame and fortune. And they sit down, and they have a snack. But they don't realize they're actually sitting right under a rickety, wobbly wall, which is the context of all of this, because we had earlier mentioned in the previous daf the importance of going around town and fixing up all of the dangerous places, dangerous by virtue of the fact that, you know, anything might come crashing down, like at the Kotel, things come crashing down sometimes, that wobbly wall. So in any case, this is what it says, that they sat down under this wall. Havuka karfi rifta. So they were eating, blissfully unaware of the peril that they were in. Asu trei malachei hashares. Two ministering angels come by. Shamei Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Chad Lachavrei. Rabbi Yochanan, somehow or other, overhears one speaking to the other, Nishdi Alayhu, Haiguda, Dinaktalinu. Let's knock this wall on top of these two guys, and let's kill them. Shemenichin Chaye Olam Haba, Vioskim Bechayesha, because they're abandoning the yeshiva in order to go and work. Amar Le Idach. The other Malach says, he does not say things like, that's an outrageous suggestion, and it's a terrible thing to say about people who are going to... No, instead he says, no, you can't do it, because I know one of these guys is destined to be great. Amar la'idach shavkinu di'ika behuchad de'kai melei shata. Rabbi Yochanan overheard this. Shama. Ilfa lo shama. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan li'ilfa. Rabbi Yochanan says to Ilfa, did you hear that? Shamamar Midi, did you hear any of this? Amar Le. He said back, he said, no, I didn't hear anything. Amar. So Rabbi Yochanan told himself, look, Midi Shami Ana, from the fact that I heard this, the Ilfa Lo Shama, and Ilfa was didn't hear, Shmamina Ladidi Kaim Elishata. So clearly they were talking about me. Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan then tells Ilfa, I have second thoughts. Yehader v'yuki ben Afshoi, I have second thoughts. I'm going to go back to the yeshiva, and I'm going to get the other pasuk that says, ki lo yachdal evyon mikarev haaretz. You're never going to eliminate aniyim from your community. And so Rabbi Yochanan said, you know, I'll just go back to the yeshiva, and I'll endure the poverty there. So Rabbi Yochanan hadar, and Ilfa lo hadar. Rabbi Yochanan went back to the yeshiva, and Ilfa went out and continued on his way to his fame and fortune. Adiyasa Ilfa malich Rabbi Yochanan. Eventually Ilfa did return, and he was very successful. But at that time, Rabbi Yochanan had already become prominent and was already appointed the head of the yeshiva. Rabbi Yochanan was the head of the yeshiva. Which yeshiva are we talking about? I guess the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael among the Amorayim, was there still Nasius? He wasn't the Nasi. I don't know. Rabbi Yochanan Hyrcanus, he was the head of the yeshiva. Amru lo. Iasiv mar vigaris lohava molech mar. So they told him, Ilfa, when he came back, you know, if only you had stayed here and learned, then he wouldn't have been the Rosh Yeshiva. You probably would have, because you were probably better learned than he was.
The other people told him.
I guess. It's a little bit unclear. The Rishonim here at Tosa says different parts from back. Who are these pronouns? The pronouns, you know, make it hard to exactly understand the story exactly. Maybe it was saying that, you know, if you had stayed here, you anyway wouldn't have been the Nasi, so it was a good decision on your part. It's hard to know exactly what was being said over here. But one thing that's very fascinating was that Rashi adds in a kind of a gratuitous comment, which was that Ilfa went to find his fortunes out in the workplace, but Rabbi Yochanan had found his fortunes by being appointed as the Nasi, because the minig was that you appoint somebody the Nasi, you have to make sure that he would command respect, and he would have plenty of money, and he would be able to live large, because that impresses people, and you want the Rosh Hashiva to be that way. So Rashi writes, that's the pasuk Hakohen Agadol Meyachav Gadlehu Mishalechav. That means you're supposed to make sure that he is in the upper tier. So in any case, Ozal, so now this Ilfa is all feeling bad about this kind of Tala Nafsheva Yiskara de Sefinta. He goes and he climbs up to the top of the mast of a ship somewhere, and he announces to people who are interested in hearing him, E ika de shoyali bimasnisa de Rabbi Chiyah Rabbi Yoshiya v'lo pashitna pashtina le mimasnisen. If anybody can come and can quote me a Tosefta from Rabbi Chiyah v'Rabbi Yoshiya, that's a Tosefta, and he's referring to that specifically as this particular Braisa collection, which is an authoritative Braisa collection, v'lo pashtina le mimasnisen. And I am unable to demonstrate where the same halacha can be found in Mishnah. Because remember that the Tosefta is a Braisa. He says, if anybody can quote anything in the Tosefta that I can't show them where you see the same attitude in the Mishnah, Nafilna me iskaria de sefinta vitzavina. I'll throw myself off of this mast and I'll drown. Okay, well, was he serious? Well, whether he was or wasn't, some troublemaker comes. Asahu Saba. Somebody came by, Ahu Saba, and started up with him and said, okay, here's one. Tanale, he quotes him the following Tosefta. Haomer Tanu Shekel Labanai, this Shabbos. Context of this is a person who is on his deathbed, he arranges with the attorney the following arrangement. He says, you know, I want you to make sure that you take from my estate a shekel to my children. Bishabbos means every week. Really, they ought to have a sela. Now, a shekel may not have been exactly precise. So the Tosefta says that you kind of figure out that probably what he meant was a sela. Nosnim lahem sela. A sela is two shekels. So it sounded like the guy really authorized only a shekel per week, but really the reasonable amount would have been a sela. The guy said it in a way that was kind of vague. This Tosefta says the ruling is that the executor is authorized to give what would be a normal amount sela. The imamar al titnu lahem el a shekel, but if he's emphatic about it, he says no, you can only give a shekel. Ein nosnim lahem el a shekel. Then you have to honor his instructions. But im mesu, but if let's say any of the kids died, then yirshu achirim tachtehem, then the heirs will of course be entitled to the same benefit. But in that case, though, bein she'amar tenu, bein she'amar al titnu, ein nosnim lahem el a shekel. Okay, but in that case, you can only authorize a shekel to the heirs. Okay, in any case, that particular ruling of the Tosefta, now the challenge is out. Ilfa has to find a Mishnah that's going to express that same attitude. Amar lei, hamani Rebbe Meir, he the amar mitzvah l'kayim d'riya meis. And he responds them back, this is Rebbe Meir, who holds mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. Okay, presumably this is supposed to be in a Mishnah. It's not. And saying that mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames is sufficient is, okay, I guess he felt it was close enough. That's the end of the story. We don't hear really the outcome. Okay, totally new story. Another Gedolim story here. Amru alav al Nachum Ish Gamzu. Anybody ever hear of Nachum Ish Gamzu? Why is he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? Because he would say Gamzu. That is in our Gemara, at the end of our Gemara. But right now, we don't know that. We only know that his name is Nachum Ish Gamzu. And just so you realize, a lot of the more historically minded commentaries say that, remember that Gamzu is actually a place called Gimzu. And really it means Nachum, the guy from Gimzu. just that it's not written this way with the Mem Sofit in the middle there. So anyway, Nachum Ish Gamzu, Nachum the Gamzu guy, Shahaya Suma Mishtei Nav, he was blind in both eyes, Gide Mishtei Adav, and he had his arms amputated, Kita Mishtei Raglav, his legs amputated, Kol Gufo Mele Shchin, his whole body was full of skin problems, Bayamutal Bave, Bayas Ra'ua, and he was living in a house that could crash down any time. Viragli mita somunach misfalim shel mayim, and his bed was sitting in buckets of water in order to keep the bugs and the rodents from climbing onto his bed. Kadesh shelo ya'alu alav nemalim, so that the ants, the bugs, shouldn't get into his bed. Pamachas, which is an interesting strategy, incidentally. Pamachas, which is actually the strategy that we ourselves use, although we don't even realize it, that is the reason for what's called the trap on the bottom of a sink. There's always water that separates the sewer from our house, exactly for the same reason. It's in order to keep the creatures from the sewer from getting into our house through the drain pipe. Okay, one time he was there, and his Talmidim came, Bikshu Talmidav Lifnos Mitaso. So they wanted to clear him out of this house and to take away his bed from here. Biachrikach Lifnosis Akilim. He was going to take him out of the house and his stuff out of the house. Amar Lahem. So he tells them, Banai. He says to them, hold on. You better not do it that way. Pinuas Akilim. First take everything else out and take me out last. Biachrikach Pinuas Mitasi. Shemuftach Lahem, because I have to tell you that I'm certain that Kol Zman Shani Bevayis Ein HaBayis Nofel, that as long as I'm here in this house, it's not going to come crashing down. So they took away all the stuff out of his house. I guess they were relocating him. And they took him out last, and the house comes crashing down. Rebbe, since clearly you're such a righteous person at Tzadik Gomor, I guess either they knew it, or because they've deduced it from the fact that he's able to keep the house going. Lama also lachkach. How did this happen to you that you're in such an awful condition? You don't have arms, legs, you can't see, you can't take care of yourself, you can't, you're living it. So he says, well, let me tell you what happened. Amar lahem banai, ani garamti liatzmi. I did it to myself. Shepam achas ha'isi ma'alach b'derech, lebeis chami. Once upon a time, I was traveling to my father-in-law's home, to my wife, in other words, my wife's family. And I was loaded with all kinds of money and assets and provisions and supplies, all kinds of stuff, three chamorim's worth. Echad shel machal, one that had all kinds of food, echad shel mishta, echad shel mina megadim. Bo ani echad, a poor person came over to me, v'amad li b'derech, and he stopped to me, v'amar li Rebbe, parnesani. And so he tells him, Rebbe, can you give me something to keep me going, to support me? Amarti lo, I said to him, of course I will. Hamtena shefrok min hachamor, just hang on a second until I'm able to get down and get over to the chamor and take some food off. Lo hispakti lefrok min hachamor ad sheyatza nishmaso. By the time I was able to get over to the stuff and to take the food out and give him something, he had already died. Halachti v'nafalti al panav. So I went over and I put myself down on him. V'amarti eini shelo chasu alei necha yesomu. And I said, my eyes that saw your condition but didn't immediately move me to act, yesomu, they should be blinded. Yadai shelo chasu al yadecha yisgadmu. My hands that didn't immediately act to support you, they should be cut off. Raglai shelochasu al raglecha yiskatu. My feet that didn't properly sympathize with your feet yiskatu. Below niskara dati, and I didn't really feel that I had adequately done penance. Acha amarti kol gufi yehei mali shchin, and my whole body should suffer from this. Amru lo, they said to him, oy lanu shereinucha bekach. They said, oh, what was to us that we see you in such terrible conditions? And he said, oh, it would be terrible for me if you don't see me in this case. In other words, if I wouldn't have the benefit of being able to inspire other people to learn from my lesson. The Yamai Karule Nachum Ish Gamzu. Why did he get the nickname Nachum Ish Gamzu? They call Milsa, they have a Salka Le, because any kind of a problem that would ever occur to him, Amar Gamzu Letova, he would always say that this is for the best. Zimna Chada, and we'll tell a story that relates to that idea. Zimna Chada Ba'ol Shadur Yisrael Doron LeBeit Kesar. There was one time when the Jewish community felt that they needed to send a gift to the Kesar, to the Caesar, also pronounced Kaiser, as it says here. Amru Mani Ezel. So they were saying, you know, who should we send to trust with the mission of bringing all these things to the Kesar? And they said, Yezel Nachum Ish Gamzu. You know, let's send Nachum Ish Gamzu to Melumad Ben Isin Ha'hu. Because special things happened to this guy. Shadru B'yadei. So they sent him a Melo Sifta Diavonim Tovos Margolius. They sent him a trunk full of jewels and gems and pearls. Ozal. So he was going, Bas Behu Dira Belilia. He went, he stayed over at some place one night. Kamu Hanach Diuroi. So these people, these Diuroi, other guests maybe at the place, they realized that he had some treasure, or they just wanted to check it out, and they stole it. The Shaklina, they took all the treasure out of the chest. Umalunu Afra. But they filled it up with dirt, so he wouldn't know. You know, the dirt for jewels trick, it actually is here. It worked this time, because he didn't know that it was replaced with dirt. Kimata Hassam, so he travels on his way, and he presents the gift from the Jewish community to the Kesar. Kimata Hassam Sharina Lesifta, they open it up, and then they see it's just dirt. Boa Malka Lemiktalinu, Lekulu. So the king got all enraged about this, and he said he's going to wipe out the Jewish community. Amar, Kamachaychu Yehudai. He's saying, this is what the Jewish community thinks of me. Amar. So Nachum is reacting to this, saying, ah, Gamzu Letova. It doesn't affect him individually. He's saying, Gamzu Letova in general. Asa Eliyahu. So Eliyahu Navi comes to the rescue. And he damule kechad minayu. And he appears like one of the members of the Roman court. And Amar lay. And he says, not, don't be so hasty. Kesar, Dilma ha'afram ha'afra di Avram avuhon. Maybe this is special magical dust from Avraham, their father, Avram Avihem's dust. The kihava shari afra, because as it was well known that when Avraham would throw the dust at his enemies, in particular the four kings, havu saife gili, havu gire, something would turn into havu saife gili havu giri. I don't exactly know what these words mean, but it means that the, somehow the dust would do what?
Swords.
What? Well, some of them would turn to swords and some into arrows. Dechsivi tain keyafar harbo kekashni dav kashto. So it doesn't say that they actually tested this. Instead, they actually only tested this in actual combat conditions. They happen to have been one province that they were unable to successfully defeat. And Badkumine, so they decided, let's test it out against our enemy, against these people that we're unable to prevail against. And V'chavshua, and they were able to succeed against these people with the dirt. It turned into arrows and swords. Ayilu lebegin zeyam aliyahu lesifta avanim tovazim regalis v'shedruhu v'yikra rabba. So, in appreciation, the Kesar fills the chest back up with gems and jewels and pearls, sends it back to the Jewish community as token of his appreciation to them. Kiyasu bisu behahu diura. When he was staying back at that same place where the troublemakers in the first place were, and they emptied him out of his jewels and now the dirt. Amrulei. So they said to him, my Isis behadach, the avdilach yikra kulihai. What did you bring with you that the Kesar gave you such honor? Amarlu, Maidin Shakti Meacha. He said, whatever I had here, I brought over there, and it was so precious to the Kesar.
So it's like he didn't even know about it.
Who knows? You never know who's trying to kid who. Anyway, I'm too awesome. So they decided that they would do the same thing, so they also brought such things. Susrili di Ravi Amtinu le Be Malka. So they collected the same dirt and they brought it also to the Malka. Amru le Hai Afra de Aisu Hacha Mididanu. That dirt that they brought you was from us, and here's more. And Batkua velo Ashkahuha. Of course, it didn't work. They cut Lina le Hanach di Roy. Okay, and a happy ending. They killed the bad guys. All right, two dots. Ezehui Dever. Back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph that when you have a dever, some kind of plague-like thing, then they would have to take immediate action and make a tainus, a high-level tainus, and in the Mishnah it gives you what are the conditions that would make you call this a dever condition, and it gives you the following. It says, well, if the death rate is such that if you have, let's say, a 500-person town, and you're getting, over the course of 3 days, three people die, which is a sustained death rate of one person dying per day over 3 days, that's already called a dever. And you have to do something to pray about that. Tana Rabbana, here's a braisa that amplifies some of that information. Here, Emotzia Chamesh Meos V'Elef Ragli. If you have a city that has 1,500 people, now using the ratio of the Mishnah's rate of death rate to 1,500 person town, that would mean that you would be getting three people dying per day, sustained over 3 days. Kigon Kfar Ako V'yatzei Menu Tisha Mesim B'Shlosha Yamim. So if nine people die over the course of 3 days, that's three per day. Zecher Zeh Harez Dever. That's a Dever condition. V'Yom Echad Obedalad Yamim Ein Zedever. But if like nine people die in 1 day. Or spread out over 4 days, so then ain't zedever. Now it's a little bit weird. I assume you're thinking, but if anything, in 1 day it should be even much more of a concern.
They have to all die in the same way for it to be considered a dever, or just.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, presumably, if they're run over by a truck or some other kind of a thing, that wouldn't count in the death toll because the dever is a physical thing. So it must be that they're just dying out of some kind of a sickness. That's a good hara. That they must be dying out of what could be attributable to the dever. So it says over here that if they all die like suddenly in 1 day, then that doesn't count. I guess what it means is it doesn't count, and therefore you don't yet, after day one, have the right to impose the tainus because you can't decide that it's a dever yet. Because part of the importance of the dever is that it's a sustained kind of a condition, and it's not yet had the chance to show you what it'll produce. Tomorrow, maybe it'll be nothing. Maybe it'll just be a fluke. The ir hamotzi achamesh meyos ragli, and let's say if it's a 500 person, this is all the Braisa talking, so the fact that it's redundant is not a problem. It's just saying in the Braisa here, the information that we're getting from the Mishnah. Ir hamotzi achamesh meyos ragli, if you have a city that has 500 residents, Kigon Kfar Amiku V'yatza Men Shlosha Mesa Mishlosha Yom Zachar Zehare Zedever. And if the death rate is such that you're having three people die over the course of 3 days, it's one a day, that's a dever. And so it's consistent, it's the same rate. V'yom Echaro Be'arba Yomim Ein Zedever. Jerukris, this place, Jerukris, I don't know how to pronounce it, Ir HaMotzi HaChamesh Me'os Rag Lihava, was a city that we're told is 500 residents. The Yatsumi Mana Shalosha may seem beyond Mechad, and the one time, three people died on the same day. Presumably, as Tabo points out, from some kind of a condition that might have been a plague or some kind of an epidemic. Gaza Rav Nachman Barav Chista Tanisa. So this Rav Nachman Barav Chista said we better have a tainus, so he imposed a tainus on the community. I'm a Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Now, these two guys named Nachman, one of them, the first one who imposed the tainus is Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, and he's now being challenged by this other guy, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Come on, Who do you think you're following here? Rebbe Meir? You think you're following Rebbe Meir? Meaning you know you're against this Braisa. And the Braisa says you have to at least give it a chance to develop over 3 days. What do you have the attitude that if it happens more intensely, all many people dying all in the same day, that it's a kal v'chomer that should be considered a dever? You know that's impossible because that's Rebbe Meir. The issue here, the context of this quote, is the rule that if you have an animal that's presumed to be tame, you don't have to watch it too carefully. You can just minimally make sure the animal doesn't cause trouble. But if it shows a predisposition to being wild, then you have to watch it more carefully, and if you don't, and it caused damage, then you're more responsible to pay more. That's the difference between a tam and a muad. What does it take for a tame, tam animal to be labeled a muad? It says in the pasuk.
3 times.
If it gores 3 days, that's what it says in the pasuk. It says, Tamol Shilshom. So, meaning that it spread out over 3 days. And Rebbe Meir says, yeah, but Kal V'Chomer, if it's all happening the same day, other times say that's not true. That if you compress it all in one day, that doesn't show anything about the nature of the animal, it's all a fluke still. Happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch quotes this issue in Hilchos Shemona Esrei. The question is, that when you switch over from the rain season to the dry season and vice versa, it says it takes a long time to get used to the new habit. Can you artificially get yourself used to it by 90 times saying all the words? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this machlokes as being relevant to that question. Can I artificially accelerate the pattern, or do I have to let it actually stretch out over that prescribed time? So in this case, we're holding that, no, it has to stretch out. And therefore, if it all happens all in one day, it doesn't count. So that's what this other Reb Nachman told this first Reb Nachman. He says, that's Reb Nachman, Meir's Shita, we don't hold like him. Omer le Reb Nachman bar Reb Chista le Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak. So that this first Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak, bar Reb Chista says to this Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak, wow, that's a good point. Leikum mar lesi gaban. You know, you should come and live near us. I guess he wasn't really a resident there. He must have been passing by. Amar lei. So he says back to him, Tanina. But we learned, now the word Tanina usually is a reserved word that means that we learned in a Mishnah, because Tanina means it's our teaching that tells us, this is not a Mishnah. He tells him, look, we have a teaching that Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo mekomo shel adam echabdo, elo adam echabedes mekomo. A person does not earn status or glory because of where they live, but the person bestows glory upon the place where they live. How do you know that idea? Not just from common sense, but from Shekein Matzina b'Har Sinai. Because that's what happened at Har Sinai time. Shekoz ma'ashashchina shiruya love. When Hashem was residing on Har Sinai, Amra Torah Gamatzon V'Abakar Al Yeru Al Mulaharahu. You have to keep the animals from grazing on the mountain. It's special. Nistalka Shechina. If once Hashem's Shechina departed, Amra Torah B'Mshocha Yovel Hemayalu Bahar. Then the pasuk says that when you blow the shofar, you release the mountain back to normal status. So you see that it wasn't anything special about the mountain. It's only special by virtue of it hosting Hashem for that time. You say a similar kind of a thing, but the old Moed Shem B'midbar. That what? Shekozman Shehu Natui. As long as the Ohel Moed, the Mishkan, was functioning, was open and operational, was set up. Amra Torah V'shalchu V'namachana Kol Tzur V'chol Zav. The pasuk says you have to have it all tameim. All tameim have to be away from the mishkan, out of the machane. Huglulu, but when they're ready to move and they have to dismantle everything, then huglulu aparoches. Once they rolled up the paroches, hutru zaven v'mitzaroyin likanis sham. Then the tameim are allowed to walk around over there because the place no longer has its status, has its kedusha. Amar lei. So now this Rav Nachman, who was just rebuffed by saying, I don't want to come to you because what's in it for me? Because wherever I go, it's in a special place because I make it special by my being there. So I don't need to come to you, I guess. I guess that's what he said. I mean, what else was he saying? He's saying that. He was saying, I don't need to come to you. What's in it for me? What do you have to offer me? So Amar Lei, so he says to him, understood. So then he says to him, okay, understood. So you know what? Use your mind. If I come and like move in with you, move over to you. So Amar Lei, he says, oh, well, I mean, if you're serious about it then, so then I would have to say a different consideration prevails. Mutav yavo mana ben pras, eitzel mana ben mana. The al yavo mana ben mana, eitzel mana ben pras. Rashi explains this means the full portion, who's the son of the half portion, is ought to go and join the full portion, son of the full portion, as opposed to the full portion, son of the full portion, going over and joining the full portion, son of the half portion. Rashi says this is an allusion to the fact that they're both named Rav Nachman, but one of them was the son of Rav Yitzchak, and the other one was Rav Chista, and the other one was the son of Mr. Yitzchak. So he tells him, you know, all right, so if you're already serious that you think that we should hook up and connect, then fine, then I'll stay with you. That's more Derech Eretz. Okay, new story. Besura havis davarta, that's a dever. So in Sura they actually had a plague that was determined to be a bona fide plague. It was terrible, it was tragic. But b'shivavuse derav lo havis davarta. But in Rav's little neighborhood, they didn't have anybody suffering from that dever. How would you understand that? Why would you think that would happen? How is that possible? You're probably thinking, probably Rav Zachus protected his neighborhood. The Gemara said, everybody thought that. Savru mine mishum zachusei de Rav, the nafish. They all thought, yeah, probably because that neighborhood had Rav there and his great Zachus protected the people. Ischazi lehu bechelma. So they all had a dream. I don't know who they all are. All the people who thought this way had a vision, had a dream. That's wrong. Don't interpret the events that way. Rav dinafish zechusei tuva. You don't understand how truly gigantic Rav Zechus really is. Hamil sezutrele l'Rav. This is a trivial, trifling thing for Rav. Don't chalk this up to Rav's enormous Zechus. Rav is much bigger than this. No, it's because there happened to be the other guy in a block over from Rav who was helpful, and he helped people get buried. So in any case, the worship have creative suggestions as to what in the world was just said here in this story, that Rav's enormous zechus could not be the source of this because it was too big. He, Zechus, wouldn't do trifling things like protect people from dying. That what? That what? So then what? So people should have been dying where he is also, and then that would have been
not... What's this used for?
What?
What's this used for then? Just for...
Yeah. So anyway, different commentaries have different suggestions about this. But I have to tell you that Rabbi Shechter would often tell us the same explanation, and I thought it was the Marshah, but I see it's not really. He would say this, no. The whole neighborhood was all protected, and you couldn't really be sure who was really responsible. If it were Rav, it would have been his house would have been shielded, where it's very obvious that he had a kind of a divine protection. And that you wouldn't have had it kind of spread around and vague about who Zechus is really credited for the Zechus of this thing. Okay, that's what he would say. He would say it's much more obvious providence when your Zechus is great, and it's less obvious providence when, even though you've earned a kind of a providential boon, but that it's not as blatant if your zechus is lower. And that's what it meant here, that in this neighborhood where Rav is living, there was another guy who's responsible for protecting the whole neighborhood. Okay, the logic is still a little bit funny. It's a little funny. But incidentally, one very fascinating thing that you see over here is that sometimes your zechus, an expression of your zechus, is to benefit the other people also. That's incidentally a very neat pedagogic tactic, is that if you want to try to give one of the students in the class a prize, the best prize you can give is to let the whole class get something special because of that one kid. And then that kid feels really special that they were the cause of the whole town, the whole place getting the zichus. So it says in a similar kind of a story over here that Bidrokris havis delecta. There was once a deleka. I don't know if a deleka, it really means a fire was out of control in the neighborhood. Could be that. It could be some other kind of a medical condition. In any case, Bishibavuse de Rav Huna, and we know about Rav Huna's miraculous things that he would have been entitled to from the previous page. Lo havis delecta. And Sarvamina, and everybody was thinking that it was Bizachus de Rav Huna de Nafish. But no, same kind of a thing. Somehow or other, they all dreamed that this is too small for to explain by Rav Huna Zichus. Hai Zitrele le Rav Huna Elamishamahi Itza. There was a different person who had merit, but wasn't quite the same towering figure as Rav Huna. What was her merit? The Hai Itza, this woman, the Mechamama Tanura Meshaila le Shivavuse. She would heat up the oven and let other people use it. Okay. Amar Leila Rav Yehuda. Once they told Rav Yehuda the following, Asu Kamtzi, it looks like the locusts have come by. It looks like there's a kind of a swarm of locusts that have come. So quick, so Gozer Ta'anisa, that's what it says, that they Gozer Ta'anisa right away when locusts come. Amrulay, so they said to him, but wait, Lokam Afsidin, but they haven't done any damage yet. Amr Lahu, he said to them, what's the matter with you? Zavida Aisi Badai, what, you think they brought lunch bags with them so that they're not going to have to eat soon? So obviously what he said was, it doesn't matter, you don't have to wait until the damage comes. That's exactly the same as the parking spot joke about the guy who's praying to have a parking spot. I need it right now. He pulls right up, somebody pulls out, and then he says, oh, never mind, God, I got this one. So same exactly going on over here. It was, look, it's locusts are coming. Oh, this is a terrible tragedy, you better pray. No, they're not doing any damage. That's what you thought? So they're not doing any damage? So then never mind. We got this one. So that's what he tells them. He tells them, what are you talking about? Now you have to pray, of course. Of course it's a time for tinus. Just because Hashem isn't attacking you that strongly right now. Okay. Amrulei l'Rav Yehuda, ikka mosna b'chaziri. So they also, one time, they told Rav Yehuda the news, it looks like the pigs are suffering from a condition. This is Rav Yehuda living in Bavel, incidentally, not Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yehuda in Bavel, there's a problem with the pigs. They're dying. So there's some kind of a medical, there's an epidemic among the pigs. Gozer Tanisa. So it was Gozer Tanis. How should that affect us? So obviously Gozer Tanis. Because, Neima Kasava Rav Yehuda Maka Meshulachas Miminachad Meshulachas Mikola Minim. Is that because Rav Yehuda holds that when there's an epidemic in one species, then we can assume that it's likely to cross the species lines? The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. I mean, if there were an epidemic, I don't know, among the dogs, it wouldn't necessarily make Gozer Atinus. These pigs are different. Shiny Chaziri Didamian Mayayhu Libine Yinshi. Pigs happen to resemble people in a lot of ways. And one way is that the things that they're sensitive to are likely going to have an effect on humans as well. Obviously, there's a lot of truth to that connection as well. Amrulei l'Shmuel. So they mentioned to Shmuel once upon a time. They told Shmuel, Ikka mosna bechozai. Now, where does Shmuel live? Shmuel lives in Bavel. So he hears that there's a plague happening in Bechozai. Gozer tainis. He imposes the tainis. Amrulei. Amru lay. So they said to him, but v'hamerachak, but it's far away. So what do we say? What do we have to overreact here now? Hamar. So he says, lekam abra acha, depasik lay. I guess what he's saying sarcastically is, well, we don't have any walls that'll keep it away from us. Amru lele Rav Nachman. Once upon a time, they told Rav Nachman, Ikam osana bi'aradi Yisrael. They told Rav Nachman, who's living in Bavel, how do I know all these people living in Bavel? Because their name is Rav Blank. Any of these people, any member of Chazal, his name is Rav Blank, was living in Bavel. Rav Nachman from Bavel, Ikam osana bi'aradi Yisrael. They tell him that in Eretz Yisrael, there's a death. There's some kind of a problem, an epidemic. Gozer Tanis, he was Gozer Tanis here in Bavel. Amar, im gavira loka shifelo koshkein. And he justified it by saying, if the mistress is in trouble, then all the slave girls are going to be in worse trouble. So the Gemara says, hold on, according to that analysis, time of the gavira v'shifcha, that only is because one is Eretz Yisrael, and you're here in Bavel. But what if it's Hashivcha v'shivcha? What if the logic wouldn't say that if one of the slave girls is in trouble, yet all the other slave girls have to be in similar trouble? That's not the case. But v'ha amru leila Shmuel, but that goes against the attitude that Shmuel taught us. Because once there was a time when they told Shmuel, Ika mosna bechozoi. Shmuel was living in Naharda, I think. And they say, oh, there's a problem in Beit Hozoi. There's some kind of an epidemic there. Gozer Ta'anisa. So he imposed the Ta'anis here in Arda. That shouldn't be so because they're far away and you don't have the mistress and the slave girl analogy. So the Gemara says, well, that's different. Shani Hasim Kimadika Shayarta de Lavui de Asya. The Lavi Vyasya Ahadei, because there's a lot of commerce between these two places, Narada. So even though it happens to be distant, but you know how diseases can cross continents because people bring them with them when they go back and forth. So he said that the risk is already real for us. Okay, new story. Sort of a Gedolim story. More like a Bala Bas story. Abba Umana, Abba the doctor, Hava Asile Shalama Meme Sifta Derekia Kol Yoma. They used to give him heavenly greetings every day. Every day, heavenly Malach would come and greet Abba the doctor. Uli Abaye, and Abaye used to get that kind of a visit, Kol Mala Yoma de Shabsa, every Erev Shabbos, every Friday. And Rava would get once a year. Kol Mala Yom de Kippur. He would get every Erev Yom Kippur, he would get a visit from the Malach. Hava kachal shadai to the Abaye. Abaye, of course, felt bad about knowing this. That what? That he, why was he only getting once a week? And that guy was getting every day. Mishum di Abba Umna. Because of what Abba Umna was entitled to. Amru lei. Somehow or other, the Malach says to him, yeah, you know, forget it. Lo matzis lemebet kivdei. Forget it. You're not going to be able to be like him. You can't do the things that he does. May have a uvdei? Why? What are the things that he does? May have a uvdei de Abba Umna? What are the great things that he does to earn such a treatment from Shemayim? If he have a ovid milsa, whenever he would do a procedure, have a machis gavri luchud v'nashi luchud, he would always make sure to keep the men separate from the women, the men's waiting room, different from the women's waiting room. The Yisle Levusha, the Yisba Karna, the Abbas Bezia, Kikus Lisa. He had his special kinds of gowns that we had to examine the people, the women, would be able to remain tsenuos. Ki Havis Asyale Yitza, Hava Malbishla. So whenever a woman would come, he would make sure she would wear this thing, and then that would keep her tsenua. Kech Delo Nestakalba, so that he or they or whoever can't see her. The Yisle Duchte the Tzinia, the Shari Bepshite, and also he would keep his cash register over there on the side, and the Shari Bepshite, the Shakiel, the Yisle Shari Be. People who have the money to pay for their services would put the money in, the Les Leilo. And if you couldn't pay for your services, then nobody would know, because you paid kind of privately, and that way, you know, nobody felt, you know, humiliated by their inability to pay. A little mix, if you didn't get embarrassed. Kiavis Ramilay Servimir Rabbanan. When a Talmud Chacham would come, a Servimir Rabbanan, a yeshiva guy would come. Ki have a Misramilay Servimir Rabbanan. Agrimini lo shakil. He wouldn't take payment. And then it's a little bit vague exactly about what happened here with the money. Basa dekoi yohev le pshite. And after having had the procedure, Rashi explained, the procedure always was bloodletting. And it always drained the person. And so what Abba Umna would do, would after the procedure, he would take some of the money and he would hand it back to the yeshiva kid and say, V'yamr lezil berinaf sheikh. He would say, okay, go here, take some of the money and go feed yourself and strengthen yourself up and heal thyself. And very fascinating. What is, of course, the point of the story is that people who are in the workplace have much greater opportunities of Kiddush Hashem than the people in the yeshivas and people in the rebbeim. They do not have the same opportunities of Kiddush Hashem. But this is showing how when you're actually out there in the real work environment, then your opportunities of bringing Kiddush Hashem are enormous.
All right. So, you almost started with Ilfa and Yochanan saying that don't go out.